Hello and welcome to the original, the only podcast of its kind for the Quantum Grammar Shoot, a podcast that talks about the grammar technology known as correct sentence structure, communication, parsing, syntax, grammar, i.e. quantum grammar, and how it relates to everyday life and current events. And I am your host, Colin Jason Knife and Matthew Colin Glass. This is a podcast of opinion, where I share my thoughts on a psychological level of how one would use this technology navigating through everyday now space and other related subjects. Hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome to this edition of For the Quantum Grammar Shoot podcast. I just wanted to preface this edition of the podcast, which is concerned with what's known as conjecture, i.e. assumption, presumption. I wanted to preface it by commenting on a certain trial that's going on right now that is not open to the public, a trial of a lady who's been accused of some horrendous things, involved in some horrendous scenarios, and well, if you watch the news, you know what I'm talking about. I just watched a video of a quote-unquote journalist confronting her as she was walking either to or from the courthouse. Now, this was not a journalist. I'm going to say that this was an entertainer, because journalism is asking fair and balanced questions. What this individual was doing was circling the woman like a vulture, being very rude, asking very presumptive questions. For example, what happened to so-and-so? You know, your husband. Did he fall off a cliff? Was it Mossad? Like, these things are just beyond the pale in the realm of rudeness and bullying. And of course, when this was posted to social media, the majority of the comments, matter of fact, all the comments were like, yeah, you did good. Good job. I haven't seen a journalist ask these hard-hitting questions except in movies, which shows what the condition of state of the mentality of this society is these days. That's not journalism. That's presumptions built into things that appear to be questions but aren't. And no wonder the woman kept her mouth shut. Do any of you out there have any proof of what she's done except what you've read? I know I don't. I don't know what's going on. It's just entertainment for me. There is no news, very little information, very little data. All I know is the same as you, what I see out there. And I'm not going to assume anything about the woman. And before we get into this video, I just wanted to mention that this is a mentality that we have been basically groomed with. Some would say that journalism, instead of being educational and informative, has definitely become accusatory. We go around accusing individuals of things without knowing anything about it, without knowing the truth, without having any firsthand knowledge of what's going on. So I just wanted to put that out there. If you're aware of the news, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, on to the podcast. I think at this now space continuum juncture, it'd be a good time to talk about levels of assumption and presumption. As children, most of us were placed into a school system, an education system, that drilled into our heads the modality of presumption and assumption. We are taught to presume and assume so many things. Now, when we look at religion, for example, I myself was raised Catholic, I went through 7 years of Catholic school. That means during the school year, 5 days a week, I went to church in the morning, the Bible studies, all that that goes with it, with nuns and priests. And I was taught to presume and assume that this invisible entity that I can't certify had power over me. The power of life or death over me. And not only that, but the power of what happens to me after I die. And this is all assumption and presumption. Now, those religious zealots out there may say, well, that's not presumption and assumption. That's the way it is. Well, then I would humbly ask you to prove that to me, because I don't know anyone who's actually gone beyond and come back with proof that there's anything there. Now, you know, we've had these individuals who have what we call near-death experiences, but also the brain and the chemicals within the brain they're all a wonder. And it's been proven that in everyday life, under certain stresses and chemical changes, people can imagine things. People can go through all types of things. If you've ever taken a hallucinogen, you know what I'm talking about. So it's not too far of a reasonable guess that when someone is close to death, there's all sorts of crazy chemicals going through their body. And all sorts of crazy things can come into their head. Doesn't necessarily mean that they went somewhere else. I'm not saying they didn't. But I'm not saying they did. I'm saying you can't certify it. Bringing it back to the lens of correct sentence structure, communication, parse, syntax, grammar. Looking at it objectively, they had that experience. That's unique to them. They had the quote-unquote near-death experience. Okay, that's fine. That's their experience. I honor that. But for them to try to get me to participate with believing that experience is something entirely different. Just as someone who's a true believer in any type of religion or God or anything like that, that's fine. They can do that. But as long as they don't try to get me to participate with that as a fact, we're okay. And I don't hold any of that stuff against anybody. The only point that I bring up is, if you cannot certify what you are claiming to someone else in the same concrete way that, say for example, I can certify to you that I have a live life claim. Or I can certify to you that I'm holding a pen in my hand. Or I can certify to you, whatever, that my favorite car is a Dodge Challenger Demon, and I can show you the car, and we can both certify that that's what that is. If you can't certify it to me in that way, then it's an assumption and a presumption to me. It's just your opinion of something. Someone, like I said in a video a long time ago, if someone claims that they were abducted by aliens and went to whatever, Beetlejuice, and met the president of the universe or galaxy or whatever, Zaphod Beeblebrox, and they come back and tell this story to me, I'd be, okay, cool story, bro. Can you take me with you? Bring them back. Did you get their phone number? Did you get the contact details? Do they got social media? What's going on here? These are the things I would ask. And it's the same thing that I do with anyone out there who makes claims to me about God, spirituality, about things that they've done. Depending upon the severity or seriousness of the situation, of course. I mean, just through my study of quantum grammar since the beginning of the summer of 2017, one gentleman brought the grammar to the public, and then another gentleman came in later on and joined him. And the, I guess we'll call him the founder, would have been Colin David Eiferwin, Colin Miller. And then his protege would have been Colin Russell, Hyphen J, Colin Gould. Those guys came in and they were making all kinds of claims in videos that are still available to the public. Claims of going into courtrooms and judges running away. And David claiming he has 10, claiming that there are 10 billion people on planet Earth and that 5 billion of those people are his students. Other claims that Russell has made about the Supreme Court, Pentagon, this, that, and the third. All of these things being claimed, claiming that he's commander in chief, muster master, whatever, has power over the monetary fund, international monetary fund, all these things. Where is the proof? Is my point. That is my point. You can show me a piece of paper saying that you are the master of the universe, but I'm going to ask you to perform on that claim. Show me you're the master of the universe. Do a little something for me. Chances are nothing will come of that. You're a master of the universe in your own mind, I guess. To bring it back to a personal level, I have a live claim. If someone says prove that, I can prove it, and I can tell them what that means. I have a Port Authority claim. If someone comes to me and says, no, you're not a Port Authority, I own all the ports on planet Earth, how are you a Port Authority? I will say, show me evidence that you own this port, because this port that I'm the authority of and that I claim is my port of sensation, and it has a number on there. It has a location on there. The vessel has a location on the Port Authority document that I have, the correct sentence structure document. I am the Port Authority of this port. Show me who's in charge here, because I will certainly show you if you test me. And I can prove it that way. I have a fate writ volition claim. I can prove that to you. I have a grammar tutor claim. I can prove that as well. The almost 200 videos on my YouTube channel are certification of that. So all of these things that I claim, I can prove. I can show a continuance of the evidence. You don't have to take my word for it, but you do have to sit down and invest some now space in hearing me out or watching the videos or spending the time in getting that closure. You don't have to take my word for it. Put the effort in and find out if you care. If you just want to write me off and dismiss me, that's cool too. I don't care one way or the other. What I'm trying to convey to you in this podcast is that there is so much assumption, presumption built into the quantum grammar community itself that is why I have distanced myself from it. For me, from my perspective, through my correct sentence structure, communication, parse, syntax, grammar lens, this quantum grammar community has moved into the fiction. Maybe it was always in the fiction. I don't know. I can't really say for sure how, because things move along and things are stopped and corrected. I've certainly stopped and corrected in my own construct. And I have other individuals out there who I do checks with, can certify things for me, with me, work with me. Because it's always also about the geometric level playing field of contract. To always have that peace, neutrality, honor, grace, rule one, rule equal. And that is what, to bring it back to the religion thing, that is what a deity, a god, that is what that violates. It violates the geometric level playing field of contract. Because now you're putting something above you and the playing field has been altered. It's not level anymore. You may be okay with that. That's fine. I am not. That is why I always establish that geometric level playing field, no matter who I'm interacting with. And it comes back to who exactly can make a claim. One may only make a claim for oneself. It doesn't matter if it's incorrect sentence structure, adverb, verb, adjective, pronoun, fiction, English, babble, doesn't matter. Once you start making a claim for someone else, now you're trespassing. Of course, there are exceptions. For example, children. Parents may make claims for their children. Maybe someone gives you the authority to make a claim for them. In that case, they have authorized you to do so. Everyone is their own authority. And going into the geometric level playing field of contract, everyone is an authority on this geometric level playing field. And one must be cognizant of trespassing. Something so simple as saying, well, you know what you should do? You should have did this. That's a trespass. We have to be very clear with what we're saying so that there's no presumption and assumption, and certainly no condescending types of modalities going on here. Going back to the assumption presumption, not going to presume anything about anything. If you can't certify it, it's an assumption. It's an opinion. If you can certify it, now we can come into the domain of fact. Whether you choose to do that using correct sentence structure in a written form, spoken form, however you want to do it is up to you. To be correct, you don't have to use correct sentence structure. One thing I think people don't realize, a lot of people don't realize, and again, it comes back to assumption presumption, as I mentioned before. One thing people don't realize is that in order for another contract party to participate with you using correct sentence structure, communication, parse, syntax, grammar, all contract parties involved must have a live life claim. That is something people miss. Like I remember a couple years ago, I think it was a certain sector of the quantum grammar community came out with this media command letter and sent out this letter in quasi correct sentence structure. It wasn't quite correct sentence structure, but it kind of looked like it to the untrained eye and sent it out to all these different media outlets, I think, in different locations. That doesn't mean anything other than what the recipient of the letter would choose for it to mean. The value of something is what you ascribe to it. It's just like if someone gets a letter from a court and, let's put it this way, a different way. Someone gets a warning letter from a collection agency saying, you need to pay this, blah, 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 blah. And then at the top, you see, this is not a bill. What they're trying to do is trying to scare you into paying something. They think you're just going to pay it, just like everybody else. They want you to believe and assume that you have to pay it. Well, that's the same thing with this media command letter. Maybe someone gets the media command letter who works at a newspaper and is like, oh my goodness, it's quasi quantum grammar, we better do what they say. We better start telling the truth now. I find it hilarious because the source of this letter supposedly is some sort of authority. But by creating the letter and putting it out there shows that they are not. That they don't have a grasp of how this works. If you don't have a live life claim, a correct sentence structure contract is not going to be any use. It's not going to have any effect. It's not going to have any potency. Everyone who participates with a correct sentence structure contract must have a live life claim in correct sentence structure with the flag mechanics and the postal mechanics. Period. End of story. I can't drive that home enough. And again, you know, it's my own training in assumption presumption that I just assumed people knew that. Because I began thinking to myself, like if I'm going to start a business, for example, and I write up a correct sentence structure contract for the business, or maybe I write up a constitution for it or a charter or whatever I want to call it, a compact, and I want people to come in and joiner with it, well, they can't. They can't come into joiner unless they have a live life claim. It just doesn't work that way. It won't have the same potency. Now, if I wanted to write a correct set and structure contract and not use the flag and not use the postal mechanics and bring people in, well, then they wouldn't have to be live life claimants because none of that's in play. But it's a technology that only works if you have a correct live life claim. I have seen this time and again. My proof? I know people that have tried to use it who didn't have a live life claim and they failed. I have a live life claim and every single claim, document contract, postal vessel court venue I put out there has been successful, 100%. That is why one needs a live life claim to contract with correct set and structure. So if you are a landlord out there and you want your tenants to sign a correct set and structure contract, you better make sure that they're live life claimants, and you better make sure they're autographing and not signing. You see? You can't really have a correct set and structure contract with an electric company unless they are live life claimants. Now, of course, you can stop the electric company from trespassing on you using correct set and structure, but that's a whole nother story. So that is what I have to share right now about assumption presumption. There's so much more I could go into, hours and hours of material of how people assume and presume things, not only through spiritual beliefs, religious beliefs, political beliefs, all sorts of beliefs, grammatical beliefs. You just assume that this word means what it means without looking it up, without cross-referencing and researching. That's the beauty of correct sentence structure. You have your own correct sentence structure dictionary with finite means, not definitions, which means no finite contract, but finite means, which means there's a finish to the meaning. One word, one meaning, one congruency, one function. That's correct sentence structure. If you want to learn it, check out my YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/ChasingMatthewGlass. If you want to study in a confidential or fast track your way to learning it, you can apply for a correct set and structure workshop. Contact me at jasonmatthewg17@gmail.com. I'll set up a 10 to 15 minute video consultation that costs you nothing except your now space, where we can look at each other face to face, eye to eye, and see if this is really what you want to do. Because if you're serious about it, I will help you. With the rule one, rule equal performance, of course. Thanks for listening.